Summer in Cincinnati is upon us, and that means that it's time to once again prepare for the Bunbury Music Festival. This weekend, Sawyer Point will be invaded by some of the biggest names in rock music today, including Fun, MGMT, Tegan and Sarah, Yo La Tengo, and The National. And I have the great pleasure to be speaking with the festival organizer, Bill Donabedian. Bill, it's great to see you again. Thanks. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much for having me back.
You're welcome. First and foremost, how are you doing?
I'm really well. I mean, the first year was the tough year. It gets easier in year two, and I'm sure by year three, we'll have it down to a science. So I'm much better than I was last year.
And speaking of last year, Yahoo Music listed Bunbury among the top 10 summer music festivals in just the first year that it was being created. And so you kind of have a reputation to live up to. So what has been different from the first year to the second? What lessons have you learned?
Well, I think the big lesson for us was just to refine the event. I didn't want to do anything too different this year, too ambitious. I think it's really important in your second year, if people are going to say we're one of the better festivals, let's really button up the event. Let's make it easier for people to buy tickets, easier for them to get into the gates. How do they have more fun? How do we make it more comfortable? How do we improve the lineup? It's all these things, so it's just a really great experience because I feel once we can get that down, once we can do this event with our eyes closed, we can focus on even doing better with the talent and making it a great experience for our guests.
Was there any one experience or one event that you thought, okay, this is definitely a lesson that we learned and we want to change this?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the ticket pricing. And this isn't probably the best thing for the consumer, but we didn't give any reason for anyone to go buy a ticket. Most festivals try to have some price bumps and some specials and some offers to incentivize people to buy their tickets. Otherwise, people just wait until the last minute and maybe they don't come. Maybe they change their mind. And we really wanted to make sure that people got their tickets ahead of time and they knew about this event and they learned about the bands and that they were excited to come and be a part of it, as opposed to this kind of, what's Bunbury again? So that was a big learning for us. Also, I think, you know, just kind of taking a step back, as I said, with some things and saying, you know what, this is a little ambitious. Let's not bite off too much here. And let's make sure that we're doing this event right. And just little odds and ends, just so we can make it a better event. Those were the biggest lessons we learned.
But speaking of being ambitious, you have booked some major acts this year.
Yeah, well, we got very lucky. And I have to give the credit to the guys at Niederlander, specifically Steve Liberatore, who back in September was like, I want to book these guys fun. He said, I have every indication that these guys are going to be huge. And we had them signed in November. And then, of course, I found out, you know, they're nominated for a bunch of Grammys and they win two Grammys. That's the kind of serendipitous thing you love to have happen. And even our other artists like MGMT and The National and so many, Walk the Moon, all coming out with new product. And a lot of them have really taken fire. And up-and-coming bands like Youngblood Hawk or the Mowglis or Atlas Genius or 21 Pilots, they're all starting to get airplay and recognition and playing late-night talk shows and stuff. And so when we booked them, we didn't realize how big it was going to be. We knew it was going to get better. And now we're just like, wow, we've got a great lineup. And Niederlander did just a great job of finding talent.
And aside from the music, there are other attractions that Bunbury has in store. Could you tell me about those?
Well, I think two of the big attractions from last year, one was the Craft Beer Village, and we doubled the size of it, and we've moved it. So I think people will enjoy that. All the beer snobs, me included, I'll drink anything. It's a beer, it's cold, I'll have it.
You know? Especially in July.
In July. But it was nice to give people the option of trying some different things and some unique brews, and so we expanded that. I think another thing we did is we moved some stages around. We've really eliminated the DJ stage, and we moved the acoustic stage into that area, and we've added a second stage over by the amphitheater. So there's two true stages with bands on that east side of the park this year. And Techberry is going to be back, and it's going to change slightly. It's going to be more of a Wi-Fi area, that phone charging area. Our bloggers and photographers will be in there, so you can interact with them. And we just hope to make that, and it'll be air-conditioned. When your phone's dying and you just need to cool off and you just want to kind of hang out, it's a great place to go.
And tell me about the efforts that you have made to make this festival as accessible and family-friendly as possible.
I think some of the things that we do that are really unique, in-and-out privileges, free water stations, free charging stations, kids 10 and under are free. And on the other side of it, though, for the fan-friendly idea, you know, we added the VIP area this year. So to give people a really high-end experience, because some people were really clamoring for that. It was a balancing act, though, to do it in a way that doesn't interfere with everyone else's experience. And I think we found that perfect balance. So I think those things are unique to our festival and something that make it very appealing for people.
And I know last year you kind of went out of your way to showcase some great local talent,
yeah,
such as Foxy Shazam, The Lions Rampant, Jeremy Pinnell and the 55s, the mm-hmm. Sundresses, the CD Seeds. What local acts can we expect to see this year?
Well, first of all, Foxy Shazam really did. I think they had the best performance at Bunbury last year. People could not stop talking about it. Those guys are amazing to watch, and it was a lot of fun. I think when you look at local bands, and when you think about Walk the Moon and The National have locals, so it's kind of funny to see them on such a big stage right now, but they are locals. But you have bands like the Black Owls, who they were the only band that actually got rained out last year. So we had to have them back. Great band. You got bands like Dap Girls as well. And I just think it's important, and there will always be a place for local bands at Bunbury. Just like there will always be local food vendors, there will always be local sponsors. I think it's a competitive advantage. Our city, the park, and that beautiful view of the river and the city, and to have all this local flavor, local beer with Christian Moorline. Because from all the people who are out of town, I want them to really get a sense of what Cincinnati is. I don't want this to be just like any festival that could just be plopped down anywhere. I don't want it to be very generic. And for the people from the city of Cincinnati and the greater Cincinnati area, I want them to be really proud. This is a moment where they can say, yeah, we're a great, great city. We have a great music scene. We have a lot to offer, and we're going through a renaissance right now, and everybody take a look at us.
Fantastic. Is there anything else that you feel that we need to showcase?
I want to thank all of our sponsors, our partners, all of the staff people who make this happen, all of our volunteers. There's a lot of moving parts. I'm always flattered and humbled when I get to talk about it, but it's not just me. It's a slew of people. It's an army of people, and couldn't do it without them, and just all my thanks out to them.
One thing that may or may not be pertinent, but I'm kind of curious about is, have some of the recent events affected how security is going to be handled at the festival?
Not too much. I mean, we will do the things that need to be done. And even from last year, we have a huge preparation that we do. We are prepared from everything from a chemical attack, you name it. And I know it sounds silly. We've worked with Homeland Security. We've worked with the police department and the fire department and the parks department. And we have a binder that's way too thick about evacuation plans, how we deal with inclement weather. We even have a direct call with our partners at Fox 19, their meteorologists, so we can talk about weather and things like that and prepare. And for anyone who was with us last year, they know we knew when to break down the stages. We cleared those stages. Once it cleared and we felt it was safe, we were back up and we were running. I actually turned the event over to my production crew so there's no conflict of interest in what's done on the stages and what my objective might be. So we do take safety very seriously, and we think it's a balance between where we are, the nature of the event, and what we're going to do. And everyone, I think last year was a testament to that. We had absolutely no incidents last year. None. No one was hurt, no fights, nothing was broken, nothing was stolen. It was actually quite incredible. So my insurance company was thrilled.
Well, my thanks to Bill Donabedian, festival organizer for the Bunbury Music Festival. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The festival takes place July 12th through the 14th at Sawyer Point and Yateman's Cove. For links to tickets and more information about the Bunbury Music Festival, please visit WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jim Nolan.
Feel like I'm dying, just want you to know it.